Krishna, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Rama Hari Rama, Rama Rama.
परमहंसराचार्य विष्णुतरस्तुशीशमरेशक्तिवेदांतस्वामीपुपारी जय विष्णुपरमहंसराचार्य विष्णुतरस्तुशीशमभक्तिसिद्धांतसौष्टिवसौमहाराजपुपारी जय दीनांतकोटिवैष्णवृंद की जय नानाचार्य श्रीहरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गौर गोपीनाथ स्वाम राधा कुंड गिरि गोविंद की जय हे वृंदावन धाम की जय हनाको धाम की जय गुरुनाथपुरी धाम की जय हेमंदिर की धाम की जय तुलसी महारानी की जय भक्ति देवी की जय ई की जय गंगाई की जय सुहरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय श्री बलराम जयंती की जय गोर्धमंदिर भक्तवृंद की जय आदेश देशों आदेश देशों आदेश देशों आदेश श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग Sometimes Lord Balaram appears in his beautiful form in Vrindavan, and sometimes he appears in his many other forms, actually, including Lord Nityananda. So this is a series of verses in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita. The very first verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita glorifies Pancha Tattva and Guru Tattva. Then after that, we have some verses glorifying each of the individual members of the Pancha Tattva. So there are a few verses about Lord Chaitanya, and then there are some verses about Lord Nityananda. So this verse comes in the beginning of the first chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then later, in chapter 5, where Lord Nityananda is spoken about, it's actually basically all about Lord Balaram. Text number 7 of chapter 5, then this verse appears again. The first of a series of verses go from Lord Nityananda Balaram. So we chant this one, and then I'll read a few of the other verses that come after this one in that section. So as I like to do, I'll read the word meanings first. You can get a sense of what we're chanting when we chant the verse. Sankarshana is Maha Sankarshana in the spiritual sky. Karana Toyashayi, Karana Dakashayi Vishnu, who lies in the causal ocean. Garbha Udhashayi, Garbhodashayi Vishnu, who lies in the Garbhodaka ocean of the universe. Cha and Pala Udhashayi, Shiva Dakashayi Vishnu, who lies in the ocean of milk. Sheshaha, Sheshanada, the couch of Vishnu, Cha and Yasya, whose Ansha, plenary portions, Kala, and parts of the plenary portions, Saha, he, Nityananda Akya, Rama is Lord Nityananda, Ramaha, Lord Balaram, Sharanam, shelter, Nama, my, astu, let there be. Sankarshana Karana Toyashayi Sharita Payod Dushao. Sheshastya Syam Shakala Sanitya. Vandakya Rama Sharanam Namaste. Sankarsana Karanita Shari. Abhoda Shari Chapalobdhi Shari. Sheshastya Syam Shakala Sanitya. Vandakya Rama Sharanam Namaste. Sankarsana Karanita Shari. Abhoda Shari Chapalobdhi Shari. Sheshastya Syam Shakala Sanitya. Vandakya Rama Sharanam Namaste.
To serve Lord Krishna. So
verse 9. He himself helps in the pastimes of Lord Krishna, and he does the work of creation in four other forms. 10. He executes the orders of Lord Krishna in the work of creation, and in the form of Lord Shesha, he serves Krishna in various ways. Prabhupada's purport. According to expert opinion, Balaram is the chief of the original quadruple forms, is also the original Sankarshan. Balaram, in the first expansion of Krishna, expands himself in five forms. 1. Mahasankarshan. 2. Karano Dakashayi. 3. Garbo Dakashayi. 4. Kyo Dakashayi. And 5. Shesha. These five plenary portions are responsible for both the spiritual and material cosmic manifestations. In these five forms, Lord Balaram assists Lord Krishna in his activities. The first four of these forms are responsible for the cosmic manifestations, whereas Shesha is responsible for personal service to the Lord. Shesha is called Ananta, or unlimited, because he assists the personality of Godhead in his unlimited expansions by performing an unlimited variety of services. Sri Balaram is the servitor of Godhead who serves Lord Krishna in all affairs of existence and of knowledge. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is the same servitor Godhead, Balaram, performs the same service to Lord Gauranga by constant association.
Dhyatimirandhasya dhyanam jineshulakaya chakshurum militam mena tasma shri gurave namaha akshandatam pavamidam naparam vidama sakya videsha anayor vittanesha.
Lord Balaram is Krishna's best friend and older brother. Krishna's, we'll hear some here, this talk something about different energies of the Lord and Lord Balaram's place. There are three main energies of Krishna. Icchya Shakti, Jnana Shakti, and the Kriya Shakti. There are different ways to derive these energies. We know from the very important verse from the Upanishads, Parashya Shakti, Vividaya, Shunita, Swabhavati, Jnana Balaki, Vacha. Actually, maybe one of the most important verses are Vaishnava Charya is used to defeat Mayavad philosophy. Parashva Shakti, Vividaya Shunite. Shunite means it is said. That means it is said in the Vedas. The Vedas are unerring authority. So it is said in the Vedas, you Mayavadi rascals, that the Lord has innumerable potencies. It's not our one. So we can divide those energies up in different ways. So one way is this Icchya Shakti, which means the Shakti of will. And the Bala Shakti, or Power, yes, Bala Shakti, or Jnana, sometimes it's explained in two different ways. The idea is that if you want to do something, first you have to do the will, you have to have the will to do it. Then you have to have the knowledge or ability to do it, then you have to actually carry it out. So the third is the Kriya Shakti, which means action. So Krishna is in charge of the Icchya Shakti. Everything happens according to his will. There's a talk that Prabhupada had many years ago in South America somewhere. Some philosophically inclined person was asking, one of the questions they asked Prabhupada, this man asked Prabhupada, why is there everything? Or he might say, why is there anything? So Prabhupada said, what? Then the Lord was explaining what the person was asking. And Prabhupada's, basically his answer was, because of Krishna. There's everything or anything because of Krishna, because of Icchya, because of his will, because he wants there to be anything. He wants there to be anything. Anything he wants, Swabhaviki Jnana Balakriyacha. It just happens automatically. The knowledge to perform it, the ability to perform it, and the actual carrying out of the thing, manifesting of the thing, they all happen just Swabhaviki, or Icchya, according to his will. So Balaram is especially there to carry out the will of Krishna. That's why he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of assumatory Godhead. All service, ultimately, now of course we can all, there's always this mixing that goes on. What about right or wrong? Sometimes we say, we talk about this. Doesn't all service come from right or wrong? Who does? Who does? Lord Balaram and Balaram, they're both involved in the service of Krishna. Lord Balaram, he is exactly Krishna, except he looks a little different. And his personality is different. And he thinks differently. He thinks, I'm only the servant of Krishna. So he was saying in this verse how again, categories, major categories of how Lord Balaram serves Krishna. So first of all, Sankarshan. Now Prabhupada mentions here did he use the word Vyuha? I don't know if he used the word, but in the translation. But you all know that this phrase, Chatur Vyuha. They also believe Sankarshan, Padjuna, and Vidha. So there, somehow Krishna does things very elaborately. Our whole understanding of the creation is very elaborate. So for his own purposes, he expands himself. First is Balaram, and then Balaram expands. Balaram is called Mula Sankarshan, the original Sankarshan. The word Sankarshan, well, the root of this word, Karshan, sun means to come together, it means complete, it means perfect, this idea. And Karshan, and Krishna, and Krishi, these all have the same basic verbal root. So Krishna is called Krishna because he attracts. So Sankarshan also attracts. We hear in the beginning of the 10th canto how Lord Balaram will be called Sankarshan because he brought together the two dynasties, the Yadu dynasty and the Kuru dynasty. Right? So, and then of course Prabhupada would sometimes say, they call it gravity. What is holding these planets in space? What is holding things together? They just give it a name, but they don't know what it is, actually. Actually, that's true. So the scientists really don't know what... They think it's spooky. They sometimes use this word about gravity. There's a spooky attraction. They don't like it, because there's something mysterious about it. It's not like magnetism. You have a magnet, you have positive or negative, and they attract each other. You just have these two masses, and there doesn't seem to be any energy passing from one to the other. So how does one attract the other? They don't actually know. Because it's attractive, there's this little barrier that's the attraction that's making these things come together. So Sankarshan, he's what holds it all together. And you might say another the aspect of Lord Balaram is that Krishna wants to enjoy, so Balaram creates everything for him. He does the whole set. He creates the whole set for Krishna to enjoy him. So he does this in the spiritual world and also the material world, we're hearing about the Purushas. So the spiritual world, of course, is not exactly created. It exists eternally. But we speak of these things on this level. We speak of them in relationship to time. I was reading not too long ago in Jaga Dharma, the discussion was going on around the Babaji's and all his students. So he was speaking, the teacher was speaking this idea, something about what happens spiritually, but time was involved. And the student was objecting, well, how can there be time there? And he said, we have to speak this way, otherwise we couldn't talk at all about the spiritual world. We just have to talk in these terms that our mind can relate to. Because, yes, we're talking about a different realm, but our this more conditioned state, we can't really understand how it works there in the spiritual world. So we say that Lord Balaram created the spiritual world, even though it exists eternally. We also say that Balaram expanded from Lord Krishna, but it wasn't like Krishna was all alone at some point in spiritual history, and then everything came out. We even have this language in the Vedas, Eko Bhavasyam. This, I have to say, this line always disturbs me a little bit. The one became many. I think, no, he didn't become many. He's always one. And he, because, of course, the Mahavadis have this idea that there can only be one, because as soon as there are many, then there's no longer one. There's many. You can't be both one and many. So they say the Eko Bhavasyam, he became many in a sense. Sort of became many. But of course, Om Pranama Bhakti Nama 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 at one at the same time. So he explains as Lord Balaram, or you might say duplicates himself. He duplicates himself as one of Balaram with certain distinctions. It doesn't diminish him in the least. And then Lord Balaram, he does everything else. Really, that's the way the whole thing unfolds. As it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita and other parts of our literature, Krishna enjoys and Balaram does all the work, basically. All the material worlds, even we say everything is Krishna. Well, of course it is, but it's really Balaram, when you get right down to it, technically speaking, it's all Balaram. Everything is coming from him, because Krishna, Prabhupada one time said in the office, Krishna's the laziest man in Vrindavan. Why should he go to work? He doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to steal it. So he wills someone who's equal to him in power, who can produce everything for him to just enjoy and not have to think about it. And we see, of course, in Krishna's Lila how he sometimes just forgets himself. His shaktis take care of everything. So especially Lord Balaram, he takes care of everything. He says, Krishna, don't worry about it. You want to enjoy, don't worry about it. Isn't it nice when someone does that for you? I'm sure Mother Mukhi right now is saying, what's someone will come up to me and say, don't worry, I'll take care of everything for you, don't have to worry. So, Balaram takes care of everything for Krishna. And of course he has the power to do it, and that's why it's called Balaram. Balaram means strength. He has great strength. He likes to exhibit his strength sometimes. Of course, I think you all know the story. One time Prabhupada asked, who's stronger, Krishna or Balaram? And the devotees weren't quite sure. So then Prabhupada said, actually Krishna's stronger because Balaram is leaning on Krishna. So, anyway, this Amurti, Krishna Balaram, you may not know that this is a Prabhupada original. Prabhupada introduced this Murti. A lot of Krishna had been worshipped for long time. But this particular, at least, maybe Krishna Balaram are worshipped together somewhere, in some temple, but this form, where Balaram is leaning on Krishna, his buddy, younger brother, this is a manifestation of Srila Prabhupada's Bhava. This is an expression of Srila Prabhupada's revealing his heart, his worshipful deity, Krishna Balaram. And of course it's significant, in Srila Prabhupada's home, Vrindavan, home is where the heart is. So in Vrindavan, who did he put front and center? Krishna Balaram. And of course we know today in Vrindavan, it's the Krishna Balaram Mandir. Everywhere is a lot of Krishna temples, and Srila Prabhupada established Krishna Balaram. So Balaram, he's powerful, but he gets his power from Krishna. That's the point. So in this verse, so here we go again, we view these five forms that Lord Balaram takes to serve. So first is Sankarshan. Balaram himself is called Mula Sankarshan. So Mula means the root. So especially we see in Dwarka, we have Sankarshan Vasudev Krishna. Because Krishna actually never leaves Vrindavan, so we get to know him. He leaves Vrindavan, Vasudev. And the word Vasudev, it refers to Krishna's all-pervasive aspect. Vasudev means one who's Vasa, or about one whose residence is everywhere. But Krishna, Vrindavanam Pritya-jaya Paramekam-nibhichati, he never leaves Vrindavan. When the Kula was taking Krishna Balaram to Mathura, then he stopped and took a bath in the middle of the river, and Krishna stayed there. And Balaram, he didn't leave, he doesn't leave the border. He didn't have visa to pass into Mathura. His Vasudeva feature lives there. So in Dwarka is Vasudeva Krishna, and Sankarshan, Balaram, and then the appearance of Prajnana and Ananda occurs in Dwarka. Something just floating from my mind. I had a thought and I wanted to explain on something, but I forgot. So Sankarshan, and then from Sankarshan, then we get the, from Sankarshan expands the second chapter of Dhruva. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I want to quote this verse coming up here. Later in the this Adi-lila, referring to Balaram, is the Mula Sankarshan. He's also called the Mula or the Root. See if I can hear this. This is Adi-lila 689. Now the sixth chapter of Adi-lila is about Advaita entirely. But before that, we have some verses that talk about Lord Balaram again, establishing Balaram as the servant, his mode of service. This is very important to understand the character of Lord Balaram, that he always thinks of himself as the servant. So here's a line from this verse, Adi 689, Bhakta Adhimani Mula Sri Balaram. So Bhakta Adhimani means, our father translates it, to think oneself a devotee. So the mood of thinking I am a devotee, Krishna doesn't think I am a devotee. Well, he does when he comes as Lord Chaitanya. But generally, he doesn't. But Balaram thinks I am the servant of Krishna. So this Bhakta Abhiman, this consciousness that I am the servant, Mula, the original Sri Balarami, he's the original. And then the next one says, Say Bhavi Angata Tang Ang Shibana. The plenary expansions who follow him are all influenced by that ecstasy. So then from here we hear, when we take on Chaitanya, we hear about Advaitacharya, how Advaitacharya is Mahavishnu, he's Mahavishnu. So Krishna Das Goswami is saying that Mahavishnu in a sense inherits this Bhakta Abhimana from the Balaram from whom he expands. So how does he expand? We have Balaram, Mula Sankarshan, and then the Chaturvyuha, the second Chaturvyuha expands, then the Sankarshan from that second Chaturvyuha expands is Maha Sankarshan and Goloka Vrindavan. So you're leaving now, Vaikuntha. The first Chaturvyuha is in Goloka Vrindavan, the Maha Sankarshan is in the Vaikuntha planets. And then from there we get Mahavishnu. So this is direct line from the Sankarshans to Mahavishnu. So Mahavishnu is really, he's coming from Balaram, as everyone is coming. All the incarnations, all the avatars are coming from Balaram. So these are the five, we have Sankarshan, then we have the three Vishnus, and then we have Shesha. So of course each one of these Vishnus, each one of those is considered like a super soul. The Paramatma of all material, the Mahatattva, the whole material manifestation, is Karma Dakshaya Vishnu. And the super soul of the universe is Dharma Dakshaya Vishnu. And the super soul of the material world, the universe, that's pure Dakshaya Vishnu. Actually, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is the super soul of the universe, and the soul of the universe is Lord Brahma, as explained in the last. This is practically like the body of Lord Brahma, the whole universe. And the super soul is Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. So here's another verse. I have a bunch of different verses written down here. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:13. The son of woman will also be celebrated as Sankarshan because being sent from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. He will be called Rama because of his ability to please all the inhabitants of Gokul, and he will be known as Balabhadra because of his extensive strength. Now I have to remind myself over and over again how the lila of Krishna period occurs, because it gets confusing to me. And what happens? Somebody went somewhere, and then who was transferred where, and so on. So, of course, Mother Devaki, she had six children, and of course there's a whole story about who they were. Kaam, Krud, they represent Kaam, Krud, Haleva, Roha, Moha, Mena, Matsalya, these six nasty things, lusting under greed, illusion, and madness. So they represent these six things, these garbhasuras, they sometimes call. So they were killed by Kamsa. Kamsa represents fear in this sense. So fear of material existence destroys these bad things. So the next to appear in the womb of Devaki was Balaram. So Balaram He's also called Vasudeva. Because he's called Vasudeva also because he's the son of Vasudeva. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that all the Vrishnis are in Vasudeva. So that can be Krishna, but it can also be Balaram. In fact, one of our acharyas, I think it's Vishwanath, he says it should be Balaram because Krishna didn't say, I mean, the Vrishnis are in Krishna because Krishna's the one who's speaking. So he's referring to Balaram there. So Balaram is Vasudeva. So he appears within the womb of Devaki as Vasudeva, another Vasudeva. And he purifies it. Satyam Vishuddham Vasudeva Vishuddhatam. Also it's Vasudeva, but a short name. Means all pervasive Lord of pure goodness. So after these demons have been cleared out of there, then Balaram enters within Devaki's womb and prepares it. As he does for everything Krishna does, he prepares the room for Krishna to enter. So Balaram was there for some short time, and then Krishna told Naradevi to transfer Krishna from the room of Devaki to the room of Rohini. So, transfer Balaram from the room of Devaki to the room of Rohini. So then it appeared that Devaki had a miscarriage because everyone knew she was pregnant. Of course, you don't know how they worked it out since they were in a dungeon. I guess the guards sometimes leaked the information out there. So then Krishna appeared within the room, and we hear, of course, how glorious that was. So Balaram, he was known to be, because he was born from Rohini, and he was known to be the son of Rohini and Vasudeva. So let's explain here, because he was drawn from one room to the next, he's called Sankarshan. That's one reason why. He's called Rama because of his ability to please all the inhabitants of Gokul. So Rama means the supreme pleasure, as Prabhupada translated the Maha Mantra for us. What is that verse about Rama? Iti Rama Padena Asa Param Brahma Padiyate. Verse that describes that Rama, the absolute truth, is called Rama, Satyana Vichidatmani, because the supreme absolute truth is the reservoir of all pleasure. Therefore, it's called Rama. So Krishna is also called Rama. We can be called Rama. We can think of Krishna and say Hari Rama. Actually, we can think of Balarama. We can think of Ramchandra. You have your choice. According to your Bhava, Rama means the supreme pleasure. And the yogis, that's the pleasure that they're after. They're ready to give up everything. People see the ascetics and they think, how can anybody do what they're doing and live like that? Or even they see the Hare Krishnas and they think, how can they give up all these wonderful things that we're doing? They don't seem so wonderful to us, but giving up hamburgers, that's not a problem. So they think, well, this is our pleasure, this is our life. Changing it is unthinkable. You're going to get happiness if you give up these things. Prabhupada would say, they think, with so many don'ts, how can you be happy? Don't do this, don't do that. Of course, we have so many do's, so many things that we do to make us happy. And that's because the happiness is in Balarama, in the supreme absolute truth, because Balarama is also the supreme absolute truth. So he's called Rama. He is described that he called Rama because he pleases the residents of Vrindavan. Krishna, of course, returned to Vrindavan. Krishna apparently didn't, but the acharyas had revealed to us that he did at different times. It doesn't come through in the Bhagavatam, but Krishna did return to Vrindavan. Especially after he killed Dantavakra. Because after Krishna killed Dantavakra, Dantavakra was the last person that he killed. Krishna had just killed, who did he kill? Pandavakra, was it? Outside Dwarka, outside the gates, and maybe he went to his town. Anyway, there's someone he killed outside the gates of Dwarka. And Krishna then heard that this Dantavakra was causing havoc in Mathura. So before returning to the city, he went to Mathura and he killed Antavakra. So when he was there, he got the inspiration somehow, I don't remember, maybe someone said something to him, to go to Vrindavan. So this is all described in Gopal Champu. Krishna went and he put on cowherd, because he was dressed as a prince, did all his fighting as a prince, Kshatriya. So he put on the Gopal Vesh, dressed as cowherd, and went to Vrindavan and enjoyed the great reunion. You know, one of the reasons why Krishna, because Krishna was always saying, I'll return, but then he'll never return. You know, different places where Krishna gives different reasons for it. And people think, well, how could we be so heartless not to return? So one reason Krishna says is that it doesn't explains why he didn't return is because if I go, then I have to leave again. That would be even worse. You think that Vrijvasis are in trouble now. If I went there and got their hopes up and they would think I'm going to stay forever, then you'd have to go through that whole scene again and then trying to leave and dying in front of me practically and so on. So better I just don't go. But he did go at some point. Of course, Krishna never left. That's the other thing. He was always there in the hearts of the Vrijvasis. In really there, actually. But in their Bhava, the residents were thinking that he wasn't there. So Balaram, he also went there, and he pleased the residents of Vrindavan. And we, of course, in the 10th canto, we have different leelas of Balaram, you know, some of the famous ones. I like that there's one where I was talking about, so because after the, this has to do with the Dantavakra pastime. Because after Krishna killed Dantavakra, then he said, I'm retiring now. Not doing any more killing. I came here on my mission. My mission is complete. So I'm going to renounce my weapons and just chill out, you know, in Dwarka for a while. So he's done killing. Then he hasn't quite finished yet. So there's a story, this statement of real something that leads up to this. This is described in 10th canto, chapter 79. So after but Krishna renounced his weapons. So after this king of Dantavakra, then so a little while later, Balaram heard that the crews and the Pandavas were getting ready to go to war. So Balaram was neutral. Of course, you know, he had some affection. Prabhupada says he had affection for Duryodhana. And he had affection for him because he was a student. So naturally, Balaram came to him to learn, Duryodhana came to Balaram to learn how to fight with the club. This was done, as I remember, if I remember correctly, after Krishna Balaram jumped off the mountain. Then, I think it was at that time, Krishna went to visit someone in Balaram, or maybe Balaram went to visit the king of Mathura, maybe it was. And then during that time, Duryodhana came and learned how to fight with the club. So naturally he was a student, so he had some affection for him. And of course he had affection for the Pandavas. So he didn't want to get in the middle. He had feelings for both sides. He didn't want to get in the middle of it. So when Balaram saw that they were preparing for war, then he decided to go on pilgrimage. We're not going to stick around and see this. It's too distasteful, too disturbing to me. So he left to go on pilgrimage. So it was when he went on pilgrimage that he came to Nandashara, where the great sages were performing an elaborate sacrifice. So you know what happened there. Rama Harshan was sitting up in the asana. Actually, it's described as Brahma asana. The word Brahma can be interpreted in different ways. Brahma can be, Brahma means Vedic knowledge. It means the absolute truth. It also means Vedic knowledge because the Vedas deliver absolute knowledge, deliver the absolute truth. But it can also be considered the seat of a Brahma because only Brahma is supposed to be sitting there. So in the Harshan Sutta, he was a Sutta, he was a mixed caste. So he wasn't a Brahmin by birth, but still he had been put in that elevated seat because the sages placed him there. So they had the prerogative to do that, these great sages, if they say, you can sit up there and speak, just like all of us. We're also sitting in the asana. In one sense, this is a Vyasasana. Vyasasana is an expression for the guru. But it's actually the Vyasasana for anybody who speaks, because we're speaking what we're getting from Vyasadeva. We have to repeat what he says. So we really want to be Brahman to speak. Here we are watches and evidence, but therefore God's mercy, we're able to be placed in the seat. So in the Russian suit, of course, he, sometimes when you have bad character in your blood, in your consciousness, in your nature, then you slip up. So the Maharshan slipped up, he was proud, and he didn't offer his obeisances to Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No matter who you are giving class, God walks in and better pay your obeisances. But he didn't do that. And of course, what did Lord Balaram do? He really took a little piece of grass, just touched him with the grass. That's all it took. Sometimes Krishna does that, just nonchalantly. Just like when he killed Varaha, a big fight was going on, and at some time it was going one way and another way, and then the gods were nervous, oh no, he's going to lose, Varaha's going to lose. And then at the end, what does Lord Varaha do? Just nonchalantly gives him a little tap, and destroyed. It's like in the murder of Lord Varaha's killing pastimes, when he killed Danny Grasso, we have time, we'll talk about that a little more. But how did he kill Danny Grasso? He came in just by twirling him around. And just that centrifugal force fried his bone out, I guess. And that was it. Then he threw him up in the tree, of course, and knocked down the tree. He was knocked down another tree. It was like dominoes. I don't know if you've ever seen, my granddaughter showed me on YouTube one time, they had these dominoes exhibitions. The people do like whole gymnasiums full of domino things they do. They set them up and they sometimes spell out words and do all these amazing things. So of course it's a big build up. They take a week to build these things and then they push one domino and so that's what happened when we followed him first. Actually it's described by the Acharyas because it says there that it says in a few days the residents of Vrindavan enjoyed the fruits. So you might wonder why they wait a few days. So they waited a few days because there's blood and guts everywhere. That's why they had to wait a few days. So the Paludis came in, the Aborigines, they came and ate the fruit. We're not so picky. They came and ate the contaminated cow fruits. And a few days later, after some rains and things, then the residents of Vrindavan. And Krishna Balaram, actually, the story begins with the cowherd boys. They're saying, they're encouraging, we want to go there and eat these fruits, just see how great they smell. But actually, Vishwanath, I can't remember, there's some word in the verse where he says, this means that it's not that they want to taste it, they want Krishna Balaram to taste the fruits, because they're the servants of Krishna Balaram. They're always thinking that way. But this is very interesting, what do we see in Krishna's Leela? It often seems like the devotees are want to enjoy Krishna, enjoy with Krishna, but that's not actually their mentality. Their mentality is how can Krishna enjoy? They're dressing themselves in this way so Krishna can enjoy. Just like the cowherd goes, oh, Krishna, taste this. That's love. Just like the child says, oh, mommy, this is so good. Taste it. So the cowherd, they want Krishna and Balaram to enjoy. And of course, Balaram wants Krishna to enjoy everything that he does. So go back to the story. So Kiran, this how the story unfolds. So Balaram first left and he heard about the battle. So he went to Nandashalaya. And then he killed Ramaharshan. And the sages said, please, just to show an example, you should do some kind of atonement. So first they wanted Balaram to kill this demon. What was his name? I'm not hearing because I'm deaf, what is it? Balvala, sir. I'm deaf and I don't have any memory. So Balvala, yes. And he dragged him down with his plow and he killed him with his club. I remember that. That's, by the way, Balvala's club. Especially as a club, even Krishna has a club outside Vrindavan. But in Vrindavan, Balvala's so-called club is a mushala. It's called Mushala. Mushala means, it's like a pestle. Bhanuswami sometimes translates it as pestle. One mortar and pestle, the thing that you hit with and get spices. But it's a special kind of pestle that's used in the ground, and
Then I remember when he was here in class a few years ago explaining how to separate the chaff from the rice, the kernel on the side, then he uses mosher. So that's what Balaam uses as a weapon, another model that needs to use one. So this is its so-called club. It's actually this kind of puzzle. So in any case, when he killed this demon in Mamashaya, he beat him with his club and he killed him. So then, he left again to go on pilgrimage. He returned to his pilgrimage. One pilgrimage, he heard that the war was to begin, so he went to Hastinapur, but he couldn't stop it, so he went to Dwarka. So he tried again to actually stop the war. He was doing his pilgrimage, then he heard it's actually going to start, so he went there again and tried to stop it, couldn't stop it. And so then he went to Dwarka at that time. And he spent some time in Dwarka, then he went back to Mahabharata. At that time, he was traveling with his wife, Rigati, when he went there, and he performed the Avavrita ceremony, where after you complete a vow, or some sacred ceremony, then you take a final bath called the Avavrita bath. So Balaam took that with his wife, Rigati, at that time. And it says here, there's a couple of verses from that section. The all-powerful Lord Balaam bestowed upon the sages pure spiritual knowledge, by which they could see the whole universe within him, and also see him pervading everything. We're getting towards the end of class, and we haven't even spoken on this. There's so many points about Lord Balaam. But of course, this idea that we get knowledge from Balaam, why not the Balaam in the word Balaam? One cannot understand the actual truth without Bala. Apparently, there are those who think that Bala means material strength. It is part of the sometimes say, this is not material strength. You don't have to be a bodybuilder to understand God. But Bala means spiritual strength. We get that from Lord Balaam. So we pray to Lord Balaam to give us spiritual strength, which is, of course, spiritual knowledge also. If you have real spiritual knowledge, then you have spiritual strength. So Balaam gave that to these sages. Of course, we all want spiritual strength because we're in a battle. We have things that we don't like probably about ourselves, most of us. We're all endeavoring for perfection. There's this line in Bhagavad Gita, the context of it. Those who are very dear to me, Krishna's saying, when he gives a list of different things. One of the things he says, he translates the word yati. Yati is often translated, it's a word in sannyasin, often. But here, Prabhupada translates it as constantly endeavoring for perfection. So sometimes when I hear that, I kind of sigh. It's hard to constantly endeavor for perfection, isn't it? Every day I get up and I have to try to be perfect again. This is so hard, constantly endeavoring for perfection. Can I take a block once in a while? Now every day, constantly endeavoring for perfection. So what will help us, Bala, we have the strength. We need the strength to resist that temptation not to endure the perfection, the strength to resist that mood, to resist the despondency and discouragement that can come, because we're only for a long haul, constantly endeavoring for perfection our whole life. So we really need the strength of Bala. We need Lord Bala's blessings to give us strength that we can continue in our service to the Lord. However, I'll just read this one more verse here. It says, this is in the context of that sacrifice with the sages. After executing with his wife, because there's one verse, I don't know the sloka, but it says that sacrifice should be formed with one's wife. The husband and wife are supposed to do it together. In fact, you see sometimes with the Indians, they come with a tray to offer, and the husband and wife will run together and they offer together. So this is a standard in the Vedic culture. After executing with his wife the Avavrita ablutions, the beautifully dressed and ornamented Lord Balaam, encircled by his immediate family and other relatives and friends, looked as splendid as the moon surrounded by its effulgent rays. So not only his wife was there, but apparently, and his children too. We don't hear much about that. We don't hear a lot about the details of Lord Balaam's life. I mentioned one thing, there's one purport where they hear about Lord Chaitanya's associates and the headed leader. There's one purport where we hear about Gadadhar Dasa. without light, without repentance, without our boss, he's the combined incarnation of the effulgence of Srimati Radharani and Lord Brahman's primary gopi, his name is Purnan and so Krishna's chief proper causer is chief girlfriend, I think is the phrase he uses. Brahman's chief girlfriend is Purnan and maybe. So here we're hearing about Brahman taking a bath. So I was thinking, you know, in the Uttama Maharaj, he also took a bath and just described how he was dressed in a bearskin. So usually the king, he's dressed, well, he's covered basically from head to toe. He has a crown, he has robes, you don't really see his body. But of course, Kshatriyas are said to be very beautiful. They have muscular stature, and even the Uttama Maharaj's beauty is described. So imagine Lord Balaram, how beautiful he is when he's dressed in deerskin, receiving all his glories. In fact, the prophet explains in one purport that the different incarnations of the Lord, they display different occupancies of Krishna. So three avatars that we know of especially display Krishna's beauty, avatars and expansions. So that's Dhanadev. Amazingly, Dhanadev is usually described as a dwarf, which you wouldn't think of as beautiful, but maybe just because he's small, he's kind of a dwarf. So he's considered to be very beautiful. Dhanadev, Mahamurti, of course, that makes sense. And then Balaram. Krishna's beauty is so fully manifest in Lord Balaram. So he's taking a bath and he's showing everyone his beautiful form for their pleasure. That's my theta. I have other notes. I could probably go on for a while, but we'll see if anyone would like to say something, make some point, add something. I guess we'll wait while the pajamas are getting set up here. Telephone for them. The point you were making about Krishna not going to Vrindavan.
We know he stays
at
there was a course where, whereby he and Radha couldn't meet after 100 years. It was when 100 years reaches, then they would meet again.
Which Shastri is holding?
This is in the Brahma Vaivarta
Purana.
She was caused by Sridhama to spend 100 years in separation. And then,
of course, that she wasn't cursed. It was Krishna's Leela. She's not subject to anyone's curse.
Right.
Because Radha and Krishna wanted it. Krishna wanted it.
So even though he would promise to go, but he would not go until that time was expired.
So you hear how Krishna never goes up past 16. So it must be that his associates also, they must know. Because Krishna's in his 50s when he meets with the residents of Vrindavan at Kurukshetra. So I would think that Radharani is middle-aged now. She's not even a 16-year-old looking Krishna. Obviously, the gopis must also look just like they did when Krishna left. They're also not aging. This is all happening to me. Shakti. Yes, probably.
All I wanted to say was, like, in your lecture, I was very impressed when you said that when the word Bala means strain, it doesn't mean material strain, and Dehi. I was double impressed when I found out that even Prabhupada made that argument that Bala means spiritual strain, not material strain, which is pretty impressive. So therefore, that means you don't have to be like John Cena or The Undertaker to understand the Supreme.
Thank you.
Did I understand correctly that you said God would actually mission a super son and a son?
Well, in that sense, they're all the same. But yeah, super soul of the universe. Kshirdakshaya Vishnu is considered to be the super soul of the jiva and the atom. And Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is the super soul of the universe. Because the universe, what makes it work? We have an evolution, we scoff at evolution. We say, what happens in inert material elements give rise to life? It doesn't make any sense. So there has to be some life in the universe to make it happen. There has to be a soul in it, just like there has to be a soul in this body for it to show symptoms of life. So the universe shows symptoms of life. The plants are growing, the flowers are blooming, there's life everywhere. So what is the root soul of the universe? That's Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. This is like his body. Super soul, like, you know, super soul. And Balaram, excuse me, Lord Brahma is considered to be the soul of the universe. I think I read that Prabhu Jiva Goswami gives that. And the soul, the super soul, the unmanly, material elements before they're in the shape of the universe, that's Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So each of these Vishnus, they're called the Purusha or the powers. Each of these Purushas, they're actually in a sense considered to be a kind of a step down. Jiva Goswami makes a distinction between Bhagavan and the Purushas. The Bhagavan is completely transcendental, and of course the Purushas are also, it's Lord Shiva who contacts the material energy, but still because they have something to do with the material energy, then they're, I don't want to say they're not Vishnu Tattva, because they are, but still, Bhagavan is, in a sense, even a higher category. So anyway, that's their, we have Sankarshan, who's completely aloof, then we have the three Vishnus, then we have Shesha, that was a beginning verse that I read today. So Shesha, he takes different forms. Vinayananta is a touch of Lord Vishnu, Ananta Shesha. That's only one of his forms. Actually, there's 10 forms. I have it written down here. I'll go through them. 10 forms are mentioned. That's the only form that's used to serve Krishna as an expansion of Balaram. The altar, all the paraphernalia. In Lord Chaitanya's Leela, I like to mention sometimes that the kartas and the danga, they're Balaram. So that they should be respected. As just like the deity paraphernalia on the altar, we respect it as transcendental, not different from the world. So the Chaitanya's Madangas and Kirtas and so on, they're also his paraphernalia. They're expansions of Lord Balaram. And the Lord Shesha, you can say Shesha, Ananta Shesha, there are unlimited things of this material world, actually everything in the material world, is meant to serve Krishna. So that sense, Ananta Shesha, he's unlimited. There are unlimited ways and things to use in the service of the world. Well, that was a long answer to a short question. So, are we ready here? I guess we'll stop and have